103.2 Dublin City FM for the best in all sports coverage, analysis, interviews and reports.
Good evening and welcome to GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM in association with Tipperary Natural Mineral Water. And our thanks to John and the Live Drive team for getting you home safely this evening, and they will be back on air tomorrow at 7 a.m. Now, it's a packed show on Dublin City FM this evening. We're going to be speaking to Brendan Cooper later on, and we're also going to be speaking to the manager of the Ballyboden ladies, Camogie team, who won the Dublin Championship over the weekend. And we're also going to be speaking to Herald journalist Rowan McLaughlin as he looks forward to both the Dublin Senior and Dublin Senior Hurling and Dublin Senior Football Finals, which are taking place this weekend, and they will be live on Dublin City FM. But on the line, I have Andy Cunningham. Andy, good evening.
Good evening.
Big game in Parnell Park this Friday evening as St Jude's take on Kilmacud Croke. So let's start with St Jude's. I suppose you would have seen them obviously in the semi-final, the defeat of O'Toole's by a point, but looking like a good outfit, and it's their first ever Dublin Senior Final.
Yes, it's a tremendous occasion for them, a tremendous occasion for all the club. I suppose, like, you know, over the last number of years, they have been coming on leaps and bounds in hurling. I suppose they would be regarded maybe as a football club, maybe in a few years. But I think, you know, no one's surprised at the strides they've made. But as I say, a great occasion for them. As I say, there's some great scalps on the way up to this final, beating O'Toole's by a point in the semi-final, beating Fogg's. Drawn with Lucan, and you know, did some great results in the other championship games around Robin. All you have to do is look at their league form, where they're top of the league and they're in the league final. So as I say, a great season for them, and you know, it was, as I say, a great occasion for them on Sunday or on Friday night.
And I suppose Danny Sutcliffe is something of a star player for them, but as we saw in the semi-final, Graham Nolan between the sticks has obviously been important for them throughout the season. He made a really crucial save, a chance for Patter Carton in that game, and it shows that they've got quality throughout the side.
Yes, well, you know, I was watching them a few times this year, and you know, they're a very, very young, enthusiastic side, and especially against Luke in the round robin, I was very impressed with them, where they're under the cosh there for a while, and I suppose against O'Toole's in the semi-final. But they keep going at it, and they keep their work rate is ferocious, and that's very important in championship. And they'll need all that work rate on Friday night against this Croke's team. But as I say, the stats there don't lie. You know, at the top of the league, I think they've lost one match in the league, a great run in the championship. This will be you know, a big step up from here on Friday night, but the way they're playing, and as I say, great confidence, you know, beating Fogg's, beating O'Toole's, that will give any team great confidence going to a final.
And yeah, they're going to face Kilmacud Croke's, champions in 2012, and I suppose a huge amount of work underage in Croke's over the last decade or so, especially on the hurling side of things, and it's starting to bear fruit now as they look to win their second title in 3 years.
Yeah, I suppose it's no surprise really, you know, when you see the results they get at underage level. Won the championship in 2012. They were very disappointed not to do better in Leinster. Ballyboden then taking it back last year. But, you know, it's a tremendous club, tremendous hurling club. Doing ferocious work out there at an underage level. And, you know, had a good run in the league this year, but a tremendous result in the All-Ireland Sevens this year. Like, really giving them great confidence. A very balanced side with a lot of sprinkled inter-county players. And I suppose this Friday they will go in as favourites for this title.
Yeah, and I suppose, as you mentioned, they've got a couple of star players, the likes of, well, Quaylen Conway impressed in the semi-final, but throughout the season, Oisín O'Rourke has been very, very impressive at corner forward, and he's got some really crucial scores for them.
Yes, but as I say, they're a very balanced side. You know, they have it all over. They're a very physical side too. You know, like Ryan O'Dwyer, you know, need we say any more up front. McGrath, I think, has been very impressive in the half-forward line. Jack Doon, a centre-back. Ross O'Cardle, I think, has been probably the main man around, you know, half-forward, centre-field, very physical player. was dogged by injuries the last number of years. He was on a Dublin panel there, the hurling panel there for a couple of years, then went to football, then came back to hurling, but seemed to get dogged with injuries. But he seems to be lean and trim this year, and I think he's a big influence around the middle of the field, so they'd be looking to him. Like Niall Cork and cornerback, you know, played numerous years for Dublin, very experienced. But overall, looking at the teams, you know, they are very balanced and a lot more experienced than Jude's.
And yeah, and then I suppose through the teams that Crokes have played this year as well, obviously playing Pats and Plunkett's in their group stage, Vincent's in the quarter final, and then last year's champions Ballybone in their last group stage and in the semi final. And we weren't sure whether the victory in the group stage had, you know, come a little bit too early in the season for Ballybone, but the fact that Crokes beat them in the semi final as well shows that they're really up at a high standard this season.
Yeah, seeing them two games, and especially in the round robin game, they were much better side. But you know, Ballyboden, maybe it's just a match too far from them. Like probably not the force that they were the last number of years. Still a very serious outfit, but I think this Crokes team have been coming, and you know, they seem to, you know, they've got a lot of players back. They probably had a few players missing around the league and that, but maybe in the first rounds of the round robin. But they seem to have everybody back on board. As I say, beating Ballyboden twice. Beat Vincent's team, who a lot of people fancy Vincent's to do well this year. Vincent's had a player sent off at a crucial stage in that match, but I still think that Crokes would have went on and won the game. But as I say, they're very balanced side, and they just seem to have it all over. As I say, but the physicality of them is something that Jules will have to contend with here on Friday night.
And Andy, I'll ask you for a prediction in a moment, but before I do, we obviously had Bowden winning 6 of the last 7 Dublin titles, Crokes winning in 2012, and I know they were disappointed not to have advanced and maybe won a Leinster club title, but do you think it's time enough for a Dublin club to go on and win that Leinster club title? I know obviously the standard is hugely strong in Leinster hurling, but do you think that this could be a season where a Dublin club could get to a Leinster final and possibly win it?
Well, you look at Ballybowden, and I suppose they just didn't reach their holy grail. You know, when they won 5 championships in Dublin, they were a great outfit. They were very unlucky in Leinster. It's a hard competition to win. You know, you're playing around the end of November, December. Weather does have a big influence on it. And I've said many a time that I think it's a brilliant competition, there's no doubt about it. But if it was played in a different time of year, maybe May, June and July, I think a different type of team would probably come along and win it. But having said that, I still see the likes of, Crokes were very disappointed in 2012. If Jules were to go on and win it, I'd say they're a serious outfit. Depends on the draw. You need a good draw, I think. Dublin have a home draw, I think, against the Leash champions in the fourth round. Home draw is vitally important. If you can stay free of injuries, it's a long season. But I see no reason, the way Dublin hurling is at the moment, that who wins here on Friday night could not go on and make an impact in Leinster.
And what do you reckon on Friday night then? Obviously, Jude's coming in for their first final. Crokes with that experience of 2012, but both teams were pressed to get into this final. So who do you think might win it on Friday evening?
Well, as you say, Jude's the first county final, and it's a great occasion for them. And a great, you know, it's great for the club. Experience-wise, you know, Crokes would be obviously, you know, a serious hurling outfit. And I think that could stand to them when you look at the both teams on paper. Though paper doesn't win matches. But when you look with the strength and depth they have, in vital positions, and I think around the middle of the field, that bit of physicality, I would just go for Crokes in this one.
Excellent. Well, Andy, thank you very much for giving us your time this evening, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon on the show.
That's great, thank you.
So Andy's predicting that Kilmacud might win. Earlier on this evening I caught up with their manager Ollie Baker. Ollie took over in December of last year, so obviously it's a great start to the season, and I caught up with him earlier on this evening. Well, Ollie, senior hurling championship final, first season in charge, taking on St Jude's in Friday night. So I suppose first and foremost, how are preparations going out in St Lorgan for the game on Friday?
Yeah, they've done quite well. I suppose coming through from quarter final, semi final, and now final, a 2 week break between each game has kind of been good, and that's if they had an opportunity to rest after their matches and didn't get back down to knuckle down to a good weekend's training, and then we're kind of looking forward into the games the following weekend. So yeah, just really looking forward to Friday's night. Now it's obviously, as you say, a county final, which is a big deal, and we're just really rearing to go.
And of course you came in I suppose around 11 at the end of last year. So obviously you must be delighted to have gotten the team to the final in the first year, and especially having to come through on Ballyboden side of the draw. You beat them twice in this year's championship.
Yeah, obviously over the last 10 years, I suppose. Ballymun have been the standard bearers of club hurling in Dublin. And look at their seriously quality outfit. But I mean, like, when you just go on in the championship, you just have to play the teams that are out in front of you, regardless of what they've done the years before or what they might do the following game. So that's the way we've approached every game this year. It's just we're take every game on its merits, and we were delighted to get over the semi-final. But semi-finals only qualify you for finals. It's the winner of the final takes all the spoils. So we're still quite focused on the final, obviously, and that retains all our focus at this stage. So it's great to be there. Doesn't matter who really beat to get there. It's what we do while we're there now is the main key.
Yeah, indeed. And I suppose we were talking to Brian Hannamy on the show a couple of weeks back after the B team had won the final against Atlanta. So I suppose it's been a very good year for Crokes in terms of hurling. And I suppose in terms of training matches and that, you've got a really huge panel to be able to train with.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, I suppose, coming up for my first experience in Dublin this year, is the quantity of club players. And that's through all the teams that we've played all season, be it league and in championship. There's a phenomenal amount of people playing hurling in Dublin City now, and that can only be good, because there's a huge energy involved in all the clubs now. Like most, if not all clubs, have two and three and maybe four adult teams down through all the grades. And I mean, like, that gives a huge vibrancy and energy to clubs. And look at the B team had a very successful campaign in the championship this year, and that goes down just to the amount of enthusiasm they have for the game and the training they put in throughout the year as well. And you know, it's great when you get to play matches in that you get to come on the right side, come out the right side of performances, and just keeps on going and going and going. And look, it's been brilliant for the club in general to have that kind of momentum going all through the summer as well.
And what about Friday's final? Jude's obviously came through by the slenderest of margins against O'Toole's in the semi-final, but they've a very good team. The likes of obviously Danny Sutcliffe are hugely impressed with them. So how much of Jude's have you seen this championship season?
Yeah, well, we played them in the league earlier on this year, they've defeated us. They're unbeaten in the league this year at championship. So I mean, like, they're a serious team. They would have been the team that when I saw the draw, I would have picked them to be coming out of their side of the draw and qualifying for the final. So I would be. It's no surprise to me that they are there. They're a quality team. I know Gerard Flanagan, who was involved with them there. Myself and himself played hurling together many years ago down in the field of Tipperary at the Garda College. So I know what Gerard is about, his philosophy on hurling as well. But you go. We're under no illusion. We're going to have to play to our best if we want to achieve a victory on Friday night. So they're all important parts of it. But I mean, they choose their quality outfit. There's no doubt about it. Very young, very committed, good team. And we're going to say whoever's going to win the game is going to have to deliver good performances. And that's all I suppose we could do about beforehand. You know, talking about it. You know, so as I say, we're just really looking forward to getting out there. Being in the county final is an absolutely huge. Huge achievement for us, as the way we set out from the start of the year. So, I mean, like, we're just delighted to be there. But once you're there now, obviously, you're going to want to put your best foot forward.
And our thanks to Ollie Baker for speaking to us earlier on this evening. Now, Mick also caught up with Sean Fallon, the manager at St Jude's, and spoke to him earlier on this evening.
Well, Sean, it's a big, big night for the St Jude's Club on Friday night. You're in the Dublin Senior Hurling Championship Final for the very first time, but while you might enjoy the occasion, you want to win it as well.
Oh, absolutely, Mick. Yeah, I suppose we're really looking forward to it. The club as a whole is really looking forward to it, you know, but we want to try and put our best foot forward now and win it out, you know.
Great excitement after your semi-final win over O'Toole's. You really pulled that one out of the bag. Has it been difficult kind of since then to quell, I suppose, the supporters and club members leading into this final?
Yeah, I suppose we're very lucky. A lot of good people, like, you know, Anto Gillan there and a couple of guys around the club have been very good in terms of promoting it around the club. But I mean, as the group of players now, the players in fairness know that, you know, finals are for winning, really, and they have to remove themselves from that, all the excitement that the supporters are feeling, you know.
A great elation for yourself and the team after that O'Toole's win.
Ah, super, Mick. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's what every GA club wants us to appear in a senior county final. We and Jews have only ever been won before, so you know it was a super day for us. You know, to get there, and we were delighted, no doubt. You know.
Yeah. What impressed you most with the team?
Well, I suppose as it, all year, Mick, we really dug in. You know, they never gave up. In fairness to them, there was a huge attitude within the group, and you know that was really encouraging, because you know we great respect for O'Toole. They're a very experienced team, and you know we're 2 points down at half time there, and just to come back and to get the victory was very pleasing, I suppose, from our point of view, you know.
Mm. And of course, the nucleus of the team really are that 21 team that won the Dublin Championship 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, Mick. You know, in fairness, Peter Lucy and Brian Duggan and Liam McMahon done huge work with that group, and that team forms the basis of our team. Now, we have a few older guys as well, I suppose, in the mix, so we've a good mix, but certainly, by and large, a lot of the guys would have came through that particular team. We were very lucky with that group, and they really do form the majority of our panel out at the moment, you know.
Looking back at the semi-final, your goalkeeper as well, Graham Nolan, brought off one particularly brilliant save during a point blank, and was that a turning point, would you say?
Certainly, I suppose, looking back in the game now, Mick, and how tight it was, you know, it was a crucial intervention by Graham, and, you know, in fairness, Martin Hartland, our regular keeper all year, Glynnage in the Fogs match, you know, but in fairness to Graham, he stood up to the plate and really showed his value to the team there with that save, and looking back now, you know, it was crucial, really, in such a tight game, you know.
I'm sure Danny has done it plenty of times for the club and for Dublin, but that point he got at the end was sublime.
Ah, yeah, you know, like, Danny's a super guy, and I've said it several times, you know, he's not just a county player that comes back, you know, he's a huge driving force within the club, he always has a word for everyone within the club, and he's a fantastic role model, really, you know, but I suppose when he's with our group, he's just one of the guys, and he just gets on with it, and he works as hard as, we expect him to work as hard as everyone else, and in fairness, he sets the tone in training, and he works very hard himself at his game, and there's a reason he's as good as he is, because he puts huge commitment into it, you know.
You're up against Kilmacud Croagh side now, that were champions 2 years ago. Probably a very experienced outfit as well. Have you been impressed with their run to the final so far?
Oh, certainly, you'd have to be, Mick. I mean, when you look like Ballyboden and what they've won, and Croaks have beaten them twice this year in the Championship, and in fairness to Croaks, they've put in massive work over the last number of years in terms of their underage teams, and, you know, the type of the experience they have, and in the terms of the type of county players they have, and even their management team, you know, it's huge experience all over the at a county level, you know, so we're under no illusions as to the size of the task that's ahead of us, but certainly we feel that we're equipped to do it and give of our best on Friday night now.
I'd say busloads of people coming from Temple Oak.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Sorry, Mick?
Boy, that's what I said, you're going to have busloads of supporters coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Now my wife is just making arrangements for her own little three small kids to get on the bus there, so she's busy, and that's replicated through lots of houses in the whole of Temple Og. You know, there's great excitement here in our local school, Bishop Galvin National School, which has been fantastic feeder school for us down throughout the years, and really the whole place is alive as it expected would be for such a special GAA day, you know.
And Sean, for yourself as manager, it's a special night indeed in it, and your wife as well, your big club stalwart, you've been with the club since your juvenile days as well, and I suppose in many ways it's the pinnacle if you look at it.
Ah, certainly, yeah, you know, my wife and her family, Shawnee B, would be well known within the coming months and wider GAA circles, and well, I suppose I'm very lucky that I have that background, because, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it, I suppose, unless you had that type of support, but that's replicated, really. It's a lot of great people in Jude's, and you know, it's. I suppose it's great for all those people now Friday night, you know, I hope they enjoy the day, and I hope we can do them justice.
Well, Sean, we wish you the best luck. Many congratulations getting to the final as well, and good luck to Jude's on Friday night.
That's great. Thank you, Mick.
And our thanks once again to Sean Fallon for speaking to us, and indeed to Sean and to Ollie, who spoke to us earlier on this evening. Hopefully Friday night goes well for both of you. Obviously it can't, but hopefully you both have good evenings anyway, and hopefully there's a big support out there. And remember, tickets are only €10 to get into the final on Friday evening, and the concession for under-16s is that you get in for free. So hopefully a lot of the younger crowds from all the local schools out there in the Stillorgan Kilmacud area and out in Temple Og will be able to get into the game and to watch it and to see a really good standard of hurling on Friday evening. And of course, Dublin City FM is going to be broadcasting the game exclusively live with Mick Hanley and Andy Cunningham. So the programme here in Dublin City FM is going to start at 7:30, and the game obviously is throwing in at 7:45. So if you can't make it, or if you're abroad, it's a chance to catch up on the Dublin Senior Hurling Final. And if you're even going into the game, you should bring a set of headphones along with you and listen into some expert analysis and commentary. Now, staying with the small ball, the Dublin Camogie Final was on the weekend. Ballyboden St. Enda's defeated St. Vincent's on a scoreline of 1-7 to 7 points. And earlier on this evening, Suzanne caught up with their manager, Richie Sweetenham.
Richie, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
No problem, Van, you're quite welcome.
How was celebrating after the final on Sunday?
Oh, it was very nice, no, yeah. No, we didn't go too mad, to be honest, no, because we're out again in Leinster this Sunday coming, so we kind of just made a decision just to take it a little bit easier this time round.
Yeah.
But enjoyed it for a while anyway.
And it was the fifth title in the row. Was this in your heads going into the game?
Oh, certainly not. No, no. We kind of had it, I suppose, in our minds that, you know, any game, any year you're champions, the following year is the new, it's a new year, it's a new setup. So it's only one in a row for us this year.
Yeah.
So it's like all the years before are gone. No one really remembers them at the end of the day, you know. Like, it's all about this year's championship, and that's what we're concentrating on all the way through. So
yeah,
that was our sole focus this year.
And three of your players have got their 10th championship medals now. So that's fantastic. I think there are three girls on the back line.
Yeah. Actually, one of them is the current goalkeeper, Sheila, and then Fiona Corcoran and Orla Smith. Yeah, that's their 10th title. So they've been involved in all 10 now. They were fairly young when they were started back in 98, 99. Well, I think 99 was the first championship, so they were fairly young then. But yeah, no, it was a great achievement for them. You know, they were delighted to be involved. And I suppose we've been very lucky that girls of that experience have stayed on with us and have helped bring through some of the younger girls and given them the experience and the know-how, how to go about, you know, playing games and winning games and little things like that. So, like, if you lost them too early, you know, you mightn't have the success that we have now, you know.
Yeah.
So we're delighted that they stayed on board with us this year.
And looking at the game itself, the scoreline was 1-7 to 7 points. It was,
yeah,
it was a tight enough game and a low-scoring game at that.
Oh, extremely so, yeah. From the get, actually, we kind of knew it coming in, you know. Like, we played Vincent's the last 2 years, and they've been extremely hard games. And we knew this year would be no different, so we just prepared accordingly. And the day, look, finals take on a life of their own. Generally, every final does that. So, like, we knew it was going to be, it could have been a classic, or it could have been a tough, hard affair, and it was a tough, hard affair, and that's just the way it went. And it was score for score all the way through, and we got the lucky break with about 10, 12 minutes to go. And we kind of hurled well after that. Once we got that kind of a break, we hurled well and we kept going, and we were delighted with it.
Yeah. And is there extra pressure now going into the next game? You're up against the Wexford team. And I know this time last year you got knocked out in the first round. How are you preparing really going into this game?
Yeah, I think at the moment I was just about getting the bodies right after the tough game on Sunday. Like, we got together again last night and we just kind of eased the bodies out, did a bit of running, did a bit of stretching, that kind of thing. Nothing major hurling wise. So we'll meet again tomorrow night now and have a chat about what we want to do and just prepare as best we can for it and try and go out and represent ourselves and Dublin Camogie as best we can on Sunday against Owlers. They're a cracking side and they've proven that over the last number of years. I mean, they won the All Ireland, I think, 2 years ago, so or 3 years ago now. And no, they're a very, very accomplished side and a lot of Wexford seniors on it. But sure, look, it's only we can only go out and do our best on the day, and that's what we'll do.
Exactly. And coming out of a game like this against St. Vincent's and being victorious, is it hard to pick points to work on, to improve on, or is it something that's obvious to you that how you're going to change things for the next game?
I suppose no matter what game you come out of, there's always something you can look at, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it is a tackle count, whether it is scoring, whether it is, you know, passes or positions or something, you know, there's always something to work on. So I suppose we actually only got a DVD there this evening of the match, so we're actually going to sit down later on and have a look at it and, you know, see if we pick up any points again from looking at that. And hopefully, if we can find one or two things that would improve us again for Sunday, we'll work on them again tomorrow night and get them right for Sunday.
Yeah. Excuse me. And who stood out for you during the game against St. Vincent's?
Oh, hard to say. No, it was one of those games, you know. I mean, Shane Dalton, in fairness to him, Kim, the Vincent's manager, was on to the girls after, and he made a very good point, you know. It was one of those games that no player from either side would walk off with their head without their head held up high, you know, because they put in such an effort from start to finish. And I think that epitomises the game itself. It was just, you know, pure hard hurling guts all the way through it, you know. So, you know, all the players did their bit in their own little patch at their own little time, you know. But I suppose our backs would have been delighted with the effort they put in over the hour, you know, all six of them, you know, and the way they withstood every attack that Vincent's came down. So, you know, even, you know, leading with by example, our captain was Rachel Ruddy, like, she was excellent for us, and Sheila as well, and Fiona Corcoran and a few more of them. They all stood up, but those girls really drove us on, you know, at different times in that, so we were delighted with that.
Yeah, and looking again forward at the Wexford game, how are the girls feeling going into it?
Oh, they're looking forward to it, you know. They said it themselves last night, like, I mean, it's a great opportunity to have, and, you know, what's done is done, a great achievement on Sunday, but you have to park that for the next while, and then just sole focus is on the game on Sunday. And I think that was coming from themselves, so it was great for us not to have to say that to them, you know.
Yeah.
And it is, their focus is that, and they want to go out and do themselves justice, to, you know, do the club justice, and as I said, do Dublin Camogie justice as well, like, you know, to represent as best we can. So that's their own aim as well, so it was great, you know.
Fantastic. Richie, thank you very much for joining me on the programme, and I wish you and the girls the very best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you very, very much. Not a bother at all. You're welcome.
And thanks again to Richie Sweetnam. Now, we are going to take a very short break. Stay with us after the break. We will be joined by Tommy Conroy, Rowan McLaughlin, and also Brendan Cooper.
103.2 Dublin City FM, for the best in all sports coverage, analysis, interviews and reports.
And welcome back to GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM with Mick Hanley, Peter Brannigan and myself, Suzanne Parker. To get in touch with the programme, our text number is 087-977-1032. We would love to hear from you. Now, sticking with Camogie, the Dublin Championship finals were on over the weekend, and Ballyboden were victorious against St Vincent's. And I spoke with the Vice Chairman of Dublin Camogie, Brendan Cooper, and asked him, was it a big achievement getting five in a row?
Yeah, super five, Suzanne. It's something that very few counties ever get to do, whether it be hurling or football. An absolutely brilliant performance, you know, all told. And again, unfortunately, as has been the case in the last couple of years, Vincent seems to be at the you know, coming out second best to Ballyboden. And again, they did so by 3 points there last Sunday afternoon, Suzanne.
And it wasn't really a surprise, but with Ballyboden, they've won so many titles over the last few years, and even coming top of the group each time.
Yeah, I mean, there's only maybe a puck of a ball between them. I think the first time was 2 points victory for Ballyboden, 4 last year and 3 this year. So you can say there's little or nothing in between these two teams as such. I'm quite sure Vince is probably looking at the back door at Ballyboden going up and getting presented with the trophy. But it was a tough match. It wasn't a classic match by any means, mainly because both sides were eager to win, and the backs from both sides really got stuck in, and it was it was a very, very competitive match. It could have went either way. Anyway, yes, it's one of those games.
And there was 3 players, I think, on the Ballyboden St Denis team that have won their 10th title now.
That's right. If memory serves me correctly, we'll go with Sheila Cotter, and we'll go with Orla Smith, and the last one was Fiona Corcoran, I think it is. So between them, they have 30 WCM members, which is a fantastic call. They just happened to be in the right place at the right time. They come into a team that was winning, and they just stayed there, and that's testament to their longevity. And all those are in the back line. Sheila's goalkeeper, Fiona is centre-half-back, and Orla, I think, was half-back. So even though they're coming to the end of their career, they're still good enough to hold the younger Vincent's forwards at bay.
And the player of the game went to Aoife Cuttle from St Vincent's.
Yeah, a very worthy choice. Normally goes to the winners, but, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, it was a day when the backs really got on top, and Aoife had been playing full-back for Vincent's. She had a marvellous 60 minutes play. And I think everyone that saw the match certainly agreed that she was deserving of the man of the match, although be it on a losing side.
Yeah. And looking forward now, sorry, Ballyboden St Enda's are up against the Wexford finalists and winners next Sunday.
That's right. That they're straight, but there's no rest of the wicket. There's still back into action there now at the stage, Suzanne. Again, we would hope now that last year that they went out in the first round, if memory serves me correctly. I think they're determined to kind of put that behind them again once and for all, and go on and have a good outing there next week. It'll be a tough match either way, Suzanne. anyone that comes in, anyone in Leinster will always be top of the game. And hopefully that Ballyboden now will kind of learn from last year's mistake and go at least one better now this year.
Yeah. And the Senior 3 Championship was also on over the weekend, and Thomas Davis defeated Portobello. Was this expected?
Yes, it probably was, Suzanne. Although it took Thomas Davis quite a while to actually get on top of them, of Portobello. Porto played with a reasonably strong breeze in the first half. And if it wasn't for the brilliance of the Thomas Davis goalkeeper, Kira Long, I think Portobello would have been out of sight by half-time. She certainly took off at least two outstanding saves from the full forward. Say, at half-time it was 5 points to two in favour of Portobello. It probably should have been 2-7, 2-8 to a couple of points. Mm. So Kira Long certainly got there. Kept Thomas Davis in the hunt there all the way along. Second half, Thomas Davis with the wind just edged ahead. You know, towards the end of the match, they just kept chipping away, and I think they were probably worthy winners over the Arrow, but it certainly wasn't as easy a win as perhaps the league tables would suggest.
Yeah.
Tough match by all accounts, Suzanne.
Yeah, and Thomas Davis now are up against Karen Ross of Leash in the Intermediate Leinster Championship.
That's right, like Ballyboden, they're back in action now again next Sunday. Mm. I think they're away, if memory serves me correctly, and they'd have their work cut out for them because they'd have a tough number indeed. But, you know, Thomas Davis have a lot of very good girls, a lot of girls with a lot of inter-county experience, so hopefully that'll prove there. Official term comes Sunday afternoon. So then.
Exactly. Well, looking, there's some semi-finals that are played just over the weekend gone. Maybe we'll first look at those before we look at the finalists. St. Vincent's was 3-8 against Skerry's 1-7.
Yeah, again, not totally unexpected, Suzanne. Vincent's have won the league, so on league form, they were entitled to win that particular match. I think the scoreline, I wouldn't have imagined that they would have won by quite as much. Mm. Talking to Dennis Murphy after the game, he had no complaints. He said they were beaten by a better team on the day, and he had no issues there whatsoever. I don't think Skerry's played to their potential, but then again, Vincent's probably didn't allow them to play to their potential. And again, so another final spot for Vincent's Senior 2s.
Yeah, and then the other finals, or the other semi-finalists, it was Ballantyre 8 points and Aransdale came out victorious with 2-5.
Yeah, and this was a youth versus experience, youth being the Ballyboden, Ballantyre team, mm. Against the experience of Aransdale, the likes of Louise O'Hara and Julian McCluskey and a few others as well. Aransdale dropped down from last year from Senior 1 to Senior 2, so I'm quite sure they'd be very, very keen to get straight back up again this year. And again, they're going to come up against Vincent's there, the other semi-finals, and they're out in operation there and there, and they play each other on next Sunday at 1:30. That'll be a tough match, Suzanne.
Okay.
Two local teams, they're not too far separated, and one is really down here in Finnis, and I'm quite sure this will be a match well worth seeing, because both teams have every intention of trying to win this particular one and get back up to Senior 1.
Yeah, and two more semi-finalists that were on over the weekend. It was St. Vincent's against Trinity Gales, and St. Vincent's came out on top in that game.
Again, in a local derby, both teams decide one another. This is obviously Vincent's in the Senior 1, Vincent's in the Senior 2, and again, Vincent's in the Senior 5. So Vincent's are doing rather well at adult level. So obviously their first Senior 1's lost there last week, and I'm quite sure their Senior 2's and Senior 5's this coming Sunday will be out to kind of right the wrong there and maybe go home with a double championship win there come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and they still haven't got the Senior 1 championship.
No, again, they've just been so unlucky.
Yeah.
Any other time, Suzanne, Vincent would have, three or four championships in safekeeping at this stage, but unfortunately they've come up against quite a superb Ballyboden side who know where the winning line is. I think this is 12 out of 15, 12 championships in the last 15 years, so they're just a little bit unlucky. Again, that's no, this, you know, this is our super, super, super side, and they're just unlucky, Suzanne, but again, maybe next year, I'm quite sure that they're sick, as I said, they're sick and tired looking at Ballyboden. Maybe next year they'll undo the hood that currently exists between the two teams.
Oh, well, they will. It'll be a tough game, I'd say, again next year.
Absolutely, Suzanne. Absolutely.
Back with the Senior 5, St. Kevin's in Whitehall. St. Kevin's came out on top in that game.
This was a complete surprise to me, Suzanne, based on league form and current captured form. At half time, Whitehall played with the aid of a breeze, and were leading 2-6 to no score. But, you know, as you said, the final score being 3-8 to 2-6, which means Whitehall failed to register a score of any description in the second half. So, obviously, the wind had a huge influence in that particular game. I would have thought Whitehall were kind of nailed on to win that particular championship, but it just shows you how wrong you can be and how teams can, on any given day, play, you know, above themselves. And certainly last weekend, CBS certainly had the match of their season as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
And they'd be looking forward to their match against the opposition is Chemical Crokes, if memory serves me correctly, Suzanne.
Yeah. And in Senior 4, we've got another final happening. It's Kilmacud Crokes and Fáin Celtics. How do you see this game going?
That's right. Kilmacud are doing exceptionally well at the moment. Fáin Celtic have the likes of Georgina Kelly and a few other kind of inter-county players. They're a young team. Again, the age profile of both teams are probably similar. Again, it's a tough one to call, Suzanne.
Yeah.
It's a match that I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing because I think both sides under there are capable of playing brilliant camogie. This one could go, you know, either way, and I'll just, you know, I'm prepared to sit on the sideline there now and watch the match as such, and, you know, without having any favourites, but it'll be a great match, and as I say, whoever wins it will certainly deserve to win a championship of that, there's no doubt.
Fantastic. Brendan, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
No, talk to Dan, my pleasure.
I'll speak to you again next week. Thank
take
you.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
And thanks indeed to Brendan for speaking to us. Now, the Dublin Senior Football Final is taking place on the Bank Holiday Monday. St. Vincent's, the reigning Dublin, Leinster and All-Ireland Senior Club champions are taking on Oliver Plunkett's An Rua of the Navan Road. So it's going to be a fantastic game, I would imagine. And we are going to be providing exclusive live commentary with Mick Hanley on Monday evening. Mick Hanley, of course, and Brian Talty, excuse me. And the game is going to be starting at 7:45, as is the hurling game on Friday. But our show on Monday is going to begin at 7 o'clock. So if you're abroad or if you can't make it to Parnell Park on Monday evening and want to hear the game anyway, make sure to tune in on 103.2 or online at dublincityfm.ie. And of course, if you're heading out to the game, you should bring a set of headphones and tune in for some expert analysis and some live commentary. Now, as part of the build-up to the game, earlier on this evening, Mick caught up with Herald journalist Ronan McLaughlin. And first, put it to Ronan that this was going to be a great game of football.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, it's two sets, completely separate styles. Plunkett's, I wouldn't say it was comfortable. I suppose in the end it was comfortable, but it was hairy enough in the first half. It was, to be honest, a disappointing game if you're looking for entertainment and you're looking for excitement. There wasn't much of it on show, unfortunately. Both teams set up fairly negatively, as we, I suppose, anticipated they might, but Jude dominated midfield in the first half. Now, probably would have been a concern for Plunkett. I think they would have thought they would have gained parity there. They didn't, but Jude's kicked, I think they kicked eight wides in the first half, and once they fell behind, even to a point, by a point or two, it looked like they were going to have to sort of throw a few men more forward, and Plunkett were very, very good at being able to capitalise on that. Nesty in particular in the corner, Bernard looked to be double teamed a lot at the time, but you know, Plunkett were able to get the ball out to Nesty at the beating of his man, and he gained possession an awful lot, and they just tagged on scores when they needed to, but they didn't. Defensively they looked very, very good. They looked very, very well organised, and they looked like the perfect team to be able to hold the Vincent's attack. But, you know, it's obviously a tougher challenge for them on Monday night.
Indeed, yeah. And I suppose on the Vincent side, they had a 7-point victory over Ballyboden, a team they beat at the same stage last year. But Dermot Connolly certainly on fire. 1-6, I think, from play, and a few assists, I suppose, from frees as well.
Well, he's scarily good. I mean, that's how good he is at the moment. I don't think I've seen as impressive an individual performance in a long, long time. I mean, some of the stuff he's doing, it's just leading to laughter on the terraces. It's just that good. He's a man just playing at the top of his ability, and given that his ability levels are extremely high, it's just a joy to watch at the moment. But I mean, if you look at the game, in the 52nd minute, Vincent's only led by a point. So you're saying they're only leading by a point against the Ballyboden team, who were with Michael Darren McCauley, and also Ryan Pasquale didn't start, who'd be a very important player for them in the forward line. So that would, to me, that would suggest that things aren't moving as smoothly or as serenely as they were last year. I think there is an over-reliance on Connolly in the forward line. Certainly, I think the only other forward who could say he's happy with his form at the minute would be Pudgy Traynor, who looks like he's still showing the form that he showed last year. But they would need to get more from Tomás Quinn, from Shane Carty, from Gavin Burke, from, and especially from Kieran Dorney, a full forward, because they're not really showing the form they showed last year, and probably some of that is possibly down to fatigue. From they had a very long run at it last year, obviously ending in All-Ireland glory in March, but I just think maybe there are signs of fatigue there, and perhaps an over-reliance on Connolly, and you can be sure the Plunkets will have a game plan to try and curb his influence on the day.
We saw Plunkets in their quarter-final win over Ballymun as well, Ronan, that I suppose Ballymun's full forward line was probably their most potent, but the ball certainly didn't get into them. They had a blockade up, and I believe that was even better transferred on the pitch last Saturday afternoon.
Well, it was better, but you'd also argue that Ballymun's forward line is better than Jude's forward line. No disrespect to Jude's. They just, I suppose, lack the quality that maybe Ballymun have. And what Plunkett's ask you to do is to take shots from 40, 45 yards out. And if you're good enough to put them over the bar, well, then fair play. You'll manage to get your scores. But certainly they don't look like conceding goals. They don't look like conceding goal chances. And I mean, as we know, Finneys tend to thrive on scoring goals. Certainly they scored a half full last year. Probably not as prolific this year. But, you know, we'll see on Monday night. It's a huge contrast in styles, but a hugely sort of, there's great anticipation about the game because two clubs who've been on the scene for a while, an awful lot of people would have a fair amount of respect and admiration for the two clubs. And, you know, when you have marquee names, the likes of Dermot Connolly and the two Brogans, and, you know, throw in anyone else that you like, it's going to be a game that it could be a classic.
Yeah, indeed it will, or hopefully it will, as they say. Plunkett's going for their first title, and of course Vincent's trying to tag on another one to their all-conquering titles in Dublin. Friday night it's going to be St Jude's, another team looking for their first title, first final for them as well. Ronan, up against Kilmacud Crokes, champions 2 years ago. Crokes no doubt will be favourites for this one.
Yeah, and deservedly so, I think. I've been chatting to you now since the championship started, and I suppose I was under no illusions that I thought Kilmacud looked the team most likely to win Dublin this year. They just look like they've something about them. They have a new manager in Ollie Baker. I thought they were very close to beating Ballyboden last year in the quarterfinals and probably should have won it. And they've just shown sort of consistent form, winning 2 years ago. They've lads with experience. They've also brought in some young lads like Quaylon Conway, Cian McGowan, who've just added to the team. But they just have, it's fairly basic curling. There's nothing particularly, you know, weird or wonderful about it, but they have incredibly solid defence. You know, Rory O'Carroll missed the semi-final and thought he might be a big loss, but Rob O'Loughlin came in and did a superb job at fullback, and that's the depth that they have defensively. Even Ronan Walsh, who would have been a regular starter for them now, was away and has come back, and he hasn't got a sniff at the minute. That shows the depth that they have defensively and shows how well the defence is going, that they haven't needed even to call upon him. They're not conceding goals. They don't even look like conceding goal chances, really. And that's a huge feather to have in your cap. And I just think, despite how well Jude's have gone, I just don't think they're down that line of development that Kilmacud are at the minute. And, you know, we'll talk about Danny Sutcliffe and how influential he could be. But it just could be that the supporting cast may not be as strong enough to get them over the line.
Interesting. Well, it's going to be a busy weekend in Parnell Park. Busy bank holiday weekend, as they say. You were busy last week too, Ronan, because the under-16A hurling final was on, and Ballyboden St Enda's overcoming St Bridget's by 2 points in this game. I think Bridget's were failure winners 2 years ago, All-Ireland failure winners 2 years ago, if I'm right.
They were, and you know, fair play to Bowden. I think they may not have had a great year at senior level, but they won the under-15A a couple of weeks back, and then they went and won the under-16A as well. Unfortunately, the game, which a lot of the games were over the weekend, were spoiled by the wind, especially in O'Toole Park. As you well know, it tends to blow pretty much strongly down one end towards the Crumlin end, towards the scoring end, as they call it. And you know, Bowden led by 12 points at half time, and the win did spoil the match. I mean, there's no two ways of saying it. I'm not saying Ballybowden wouldn't have won if it had been a still calm day, but they got such a huge advantage being 12 up at the break. And although Bridget's fought back, and you knew that they would, any team that Johnny McGurk's involved in, they'll fight back. And they were very, very close at the end, as it happens. Could have sneaked a goal at the end to win it, but I think the you know, the most merited result was arrived upon there by the final whistle. You know, fair play to Bowden. They put up the scores when they needed to. They hit few enough wides, more economical and fun to go, and that was probably what won it for them in the end.
They mightn't be in the senior hurling final, but they seem to be building a lot of good squads at juvenile level once again and winning titles.
They are, but I think what Bowden have always had is they always have 15, 20 very, very, very competent hurlers, and maybe one or two stars, you know, attached to them. They always have just greater depth, I find, whenever I watch them at juvenile and at underage level, that they just always have a greater depth of player choice. And that's a huge, hugely beneficial at that age. Sometimes when it comes on to sort of, when they're looking for them to progress on to sort of minor under 21 in senior ranks, perhaps that's not enough now at that stage to get them over the line. But, you know, they've had some good players come through in the last few years, but I'm sure they'll be looking, they won't be happy with how this year went, and I'm sure they'll be looking to address that now. And they won't be too happy to see two of their neighbours and bitter rivals contesting the county final now on Friday night. And I'm sure they'll be moving the foot to get things sorted as far as they would see it.
Anyway, thanks to Ronan McLaughlin of the Herald for speaking to us earlier on this evening. And yeah, both those hurling and football finals on Friday and Monday are going to be great occasions. And one of the participating managers is Tommy Conroy of St. Vincent's. And earlier on this evening, Mick caught up with Tommy.
Tommy, you must be very happy indeed to be able to defend your Dublin crown next Monday evening up against St. Oliver Plunkett's, who are looking for their first title. Your own game against Ballyboden St. Enda's, you had a 7-point win, which was quite impressive.
Well, I know we finished 7 up at the end, Mick, but I think the scoreline tended to flatter us a bit. It was a really tough game for us, and Ballyboden worked us very hard. And, you know, I think, as I said at the end, I just think the last maybe 6 or 7 minutes we got 3 or 4 points, but it was, I think there was only 2 in it with about 10 minutes to go, and they had a couple of bad wides, which probably let us off the hook a bit. I think we rode our luck in that game, and yeah, just happy now to look forward to Monday evening against Plunkett's.
Yeah, did you get to see the Plunkett's game at all?
I've seen bits of their games, Mick. I've been very, very impressed with them. I mean, you know, they've beaten really quality teams. I mean, you know, they bet Kilmacud earlier on in the year. They've beaten a very, very good Ballymun team, and they've now beaten a Jude's team who are very good, who took care of Bridget's in the quarterfinal. So no, I've been very, very impressed with them. You know, the defensively they're excellent. Their attack is very dangerous, and you know they have a very workmanlike attitude on the pitch, and they have a very good man looking after them now in Pat McDonough. So you know it's going to be really, really tough game for us on Monday evening.
I'm looking at your own passage to the final, Tommy. You've been able to put out your All-Ireland winning team for I think every game.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's people pushing very hard for places, but we stuck with what has just worked for us, I suppose, Mick. But, you know, there's just great competition for places, and I think the guys that have come into the games have been very good for us as well.
How important is that, Tommy, to have such a strong bench?
I mean, we had a few injuries as well now. You know, we've lost Kevin Gold, and Nathan Mullins is gone. But it is, look, we've got guys to come in, and, you know, they're very apt at doing that. You know, they're very good at doing that, so it is nice. It's a plus, it's a big plus to have good players to come in, you know.
Dermot Connolly has certainly been on fire this season and carrying through his form for Dublin into the final rounds of the championship. I suppose a lot on Dermot's shoulders maybe on Monday evening.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness to him, look, he's performed really fantastically well for us in the last couple of years. But I think we're going to need more than that now from, I think, some other guys will have to play very well too on Monday night if we're to come out the right side of this. You know, I just looking at Plunkett's, you know, they've really some very, very good players. You know, you've Declan Lally, the Bruins, not Allen and Burnett, but you know, the lads that play in the defence. Very, very good with Craig Levy and Ross Donald. You know, they've really, really very players, and I'm not, again, people sort of say I'm not surprised at them taking care of the team they did take care of and getting them and you know, the hunger, the huge desire to go Monday.
Now, apologies. It seems like there's a small bit of an issue there with Tommy Conroy's tape, but we would like to thank you. Thank Tommy, rather, for speaking to us earlier on this evening on the show. And of course, St. Vincent's taking on Oliver Plunkett's Own Rua in the final of the Dublin Senior Football Championship on Monday at 7:45. So remember, if you want to go out to the game, tickets are €10. If you don't have a Parnell Park pass, they're available on the door. Tickets 10 and under 16s are getting in for free. So it's a great chance to get the young'uns out, as they say, get them out to Parnell Park, out to Donnycarney, and see some really top class football. So obviously, you know, Vincent's have beaten all before them over the last 15 months or so. So we know how good they are. And any team that has Allen and Bernard Brogan in it, and that's not even looking at the likes of Nessie Smith and the other players that have really impressed for Plunkett so far this year, well worth going out to Parnell Park on Monday evening. And remember, if you can't make it out to Parnell Park in the evening, Dublin City FM will be providing exclusive live commentary of the game from 7 o'clock. Is the show beginning on Monday, and that is with Mick Hanley and Brian Talty. The game thrown in at 7:45, so if you're abroad, obviously, or if you're just not able to make it out to Donnycarney on Monday night, tune in to us on 103.2 or online at dublincityfm.ie. And even if you are heading down to the game, sure, bring a set of headphones out with you and you know, listen to some expert analysis and some live commentary. And the case is the same for the Dublin Senior Hurling Final between Kilmacock Crokes and St Jude's on Friday evening. Again, the game's going to throw in at 7:45, and tickets for adults are €10, free for under 16s. And if you are not able to attend, or if you're abroad, the game will be live and exclusive on Dublin City FM with Mick Hanley and Andy Cunningham. So if you are heading out, you bring a set of headphones and listening to commentary indeed on that one. Now, we spoke to Tommy Doran of Kilmacock Crokes Intermediate team last week, and I just want to wish the Kilmacock Crokes Intermediate ladies the very best of luck as they take on Sarsfields of Kildare this Sunday. It's going to be a great occasion for Kilmacock Crokes ladies, and hopefully they can bring home another Leinster Championship for ladies football. And remember that one of the other highlights of the calendar year, the coming of months golf finals are taking place in Croke Park over the next couple of days. I believe it's Thursday. And then on Monday, the bank holiday Monday. So finals are on tomorrow, in fact, from 10 o'clock in the morning right up until 3:30. And then on Monday, again, 10 o'clock until 2:00. And I remember back in the day, all those years ago, I played in a Conan Munns golf final back in 2000 in Croke Park. They're great occasions, and hopefully for all the kids involved, it'll be a fantastic, fantastic day. Now, the sport continues on Dublin City FM tomorrow night. It's the Sporting Choice at 7 o'clock with Keane O'Callaghan, and also stay tuned this evening for Artbeat with Des Fitzgerald and Kira Murphy. But from everyone on the GAA Sports Desk team, Mick Hanley, Suzanne Parker, Katie Scanlon on sound, and myself, Peter Brannigan, have a great evening.